Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Voices for Change 2.0, the mental health podcast that's changing the discussion one voice at a time, featuring guests that will help end the stigma and keep talking mental health. And now, here are your hosts, Rebecca and Joe Lombardo.
Hey guys, thank you for joining us this morning. We are so glad to have you with us.
Good morning and welcome to Voices for Change 2.0. God, I love our new intro. I really do. I just sit here bopping, just rocking out to it. So I wish I'd written that music, but
that's okay. I forgive you.
Thanks for that. So
what's new with us today?
Tomorrow it's not going to be February anymore. It's going to be March.
Oh yeah, but that's not good.
For me it is. I hate February.
Well, so. March is my birthday month, and if you know me at all, you know that I'm not a big fan of my birthday.
I'm a big fan of your birthday.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Because it, you know, brought you into this world, and I have you with me now. So it's a lot of. Straight line AB diagramming right there.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, no, I'm looking forward to the month of March getting started and weather starting to warm up. You know, I looked at the weather for the week coming up and it's going to be in the 40s and supposed to hit 50 by Friday. And, you know, being in the
downright balmy.
Yeah, being in the Detroit area, that's exciting. Although I will admit that even though we got hit with a bunch of snow this week, I still don't mind it and I still like it.
Yeah, it's funny. They canceled schools before the snow even started.
Mm-hmm.
And that cracks me up because I can remember we live in the same county that I lived in as a kid and the same school district and everything. And I can remember that it took practically, massive blizzard or, you know, some type of Armageddon for them to even consider closing the schools down. And I laughed hysterically when I found out that they closed them before the snow even started just because they were a little bit worried.
Yeah, it's
I still don't think it was even as bad as they said it was going to be.
Really, it really wasn't. And the funny thing is that, are we talking about weather on our show? That's funny. The funny thing is that it, when it got started, it looked like someone shook a bunch of powdered sugar over the city. That's about all there was.
Yeah.
It's like, really? We're not Atlanta.
I survived the snowmageddon.
Yeah. So it's ridiculous. But, you know, that is what it is. So,
One other thing that I would just like to mention on a personal level, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I have especially noticed a decline in the use of the hashtag that I created on Twitter, hashtag KeepTalkingMH. It was really, really popular. It was getting, you know, more than 10,000 usages on Instagram a day, and it was, you know, getting close to trending on Twitter. And just in the last couple of months, and it's my fault as much as anything because I haven't been using it as often as I should, but the popularity has really declined. So I'm really just putting this out as a plea to anyone that's listening that uses Twitter to please remember, if you're speaking about mental health, use KeepTalkingMH as a hashtag because, you know, we're all in this together and we're a community now, and we just really need to keep reminding people that it's okay to keep talking.
MH.
Hmm?
MH.
Yes, MH.
Okay. So, yes. So please use it. I've actually had a full court press this morning with it and, just retweeting a lot of our friends that have been posting and, you know, just getting, you know, trying to make a dent and get it back out there. So thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
So as for today.
Today.
Yes.
Exactly. On this 29th day, because it's leap year. Of
which is weird.
February in the year of our Lord 2020.
That it all feels so strange to hear. But Today we've got a really great guest that we're very excited about. You folks might remember that back in June, Joe and I attended a conference called Kindred Mind Matters.
Yep.
And we were so happy to be there, and Laguna Beach is amazing. I mean, we were there during, what do they call it?
June gloom.
June gloom, that's it.
Yeah.
So there wasn't a lot of sun, but it was still amazing and beautiful, and the hotel that we were in was fantastic, and I hope someday we get back into that place, at least for even just one night, because it was so amazing.
Yeah, it'd be nice to go there for a vacation.
But it was a really well put together project, and you know, we met so many people, and our guest today is one of the people that we met. He was kind enough to come over and sit with us at our table when we were both just kind of sitting there, just sort of absorbing everything that was going around. And he came and sat with us and talked about, you know, who we were and who he was, and we learned a little bit about him. And so I've kind of wanted to have him on the show ever since.
Yeah, he's very, very warm and inviting person.
Absolutely.
And you know, not bad on the eyes.
He's
lovely and talented.
He's certainly not bad on the eyes, honey. I wasn't gonna go there, but
well, you know, I am comfortable in my own skin and in my masculinity.
Okay.
So I can say that.
That's good.
So
all right. So
yeah, besides, I got my humor going for me. So
yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, this gentleman owns a business where he does public speaking, and he's got a fantastic YouTube channel, and it's called Depression to Expression.
Mm-hmm.
So this morning we are welcoming for the first time to our show, Scott St. Marie. Hello.
You both are hilarious. I'm trying to stay silent here and not laugh at that last comment, but thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited. You two are also very warm and also easy on the eyes. Come on. We're not picking favorites here. You're making me blush over here.
How you doing? Thanks for being with us.
My absolute pleasure. Like I know you both weren't complaining about the dusting and the snow there, but I'm calling from Toronto, and
okay.
That's in Canada, and we have plenty of snow here. Plenty. We just have to use it right. It's not too great in the city, but if I go a little north, there's some ski hills and making the most of the winter. But snow days are hard to come by here, even if there's a few feet of snow. All the kids are like, yeah, we're still walking. All the bus drivers are like, this is nothing. We're going to put chains on the tires. We'll be there in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's, it's an interesting mentality here.
And the thing is that's how it used to be around here. You know, it was, you got 2 inches, enjoy your walk to school, you know? And now it's like, it might maybe snow a quarter of an inch. Close all the schools.
It's really interesting. Well, we've all had grandparents, or we have grandparents that are like, well, back in my day, I used to, you know, have to walk 5 miles to get to school and cross an intersection and go through Narnia to get there. And now, kids are, parents are a little more protective, and a lot of kids aren't even taking that walk to school. And if you're a mile away, you're still on the bus route. And that's another discussion about resilience and mental health, of course. But happy to go into detail and get your thoughts about that one, too.
Absolutely.
Well, John, I didn't live that far from school. From, you know, when I was in elementary school, it was a hop, skip, and a jump. So walking there wasn't a big deal. And then we moved, and I was within walking range, but more often than not, my mom would end up giving me a ride to school. Especially once I was in jazz band and having to lug my guitar every day. So I was rather grateful about that. So,
right.
But especially when I didn't have a gig bag, and the hard shell case was ridiculously huge for a tiny guy like me. So,
well, when it came, when it came to taking the bus for me, it didn't occur to me until I was older and more aware of my symptoms and what I was dealing with. But I had a horrible, horrible anxiety attack anytime I even considered getting on the bus.
Really?
I mean, it was brutal. And after that point, my mom drove me for a few years, and then I rode with friends the rest of the time throughout high school. We all, you know, shared. My mom would let me take her minivan once in a while, and I would pile a whole bunch of girls into it, and
we'd
go around and act stupid.
You made your own bus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That whole idea of school almost invites feelings of anxiety like that. Even the situation in a bus, you're thrown into this thing. And first day of school, you don't know anybody, you don't know where to sit, you don't know where you're going, and a lot's on your mind, and you're thrown into this social situation of finding a group, finding friends, finding classes. And, you know, when people say they're dealing with anxiety, I'm like, yeah, you know, that makes sense. That's a stressful and very new and unknown environment for a child.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, the funny thing is a revelation that we've made over the course of the last 3-4 years doing this show is that most, not all, but most of the people that we've had on the show have seen their symptoms manifest somewhere around puberty age. You know, mm-hmm. like that was just part and parcel. You know, you're going through your growing pains, you're going through physical changes, you're getting hair in new places, and, you know, there's no reason why it wouldn't affect your brain either. And then you compound that with a new undertaking like going to junior high or going to high school, where, you know, you've got usually one or two central high schools, and you've got all these elementaries kind of funneling into it. So while you've got your friends that you grew up with, you've also got all these new people, and trying to find your place in that microcosm of the world is, you know, daunting.
Yeah,
when you're
stressful.
Yeah, when you're dealing with all the other crap. So.
That's so true. There's just so many variables and factors that go into these experiences. And personally, mm-hmm. I was the same way late high school. You know, I still don't have a very hairy body, but you're right. Like, hair was growing in places. and obviously, like, that's just one thing. So you're worried about your own image and how you're projecting that image to the world and your social situations and people in school. And then in grade 11, 12, they're like, oh, by the way, you have to figure out what you want to do in post-secondary and what you want to do for the rest of your life. I'm like, whoa. I was just focused on making the basketball team here. I'm just nervous about talking to a girl. Like, that's what I'm concerned with. And you're telling me that I need to have a 5-6-7 year life plan here and while studying and still I'm climbing this hierarchy of social needs within this, as you said, Joe, microcosm. It is just like a mind workout, and there again, what you both are doing is so great with this podcast and what you do and what you write about. Just to have these conversations going, and I'll be sure to share that hashtag Rebecca even more since I'm more on Twitter. But it's just to keep this awareness going as far as normalizing that experience. Because that experience is something that everybody goes through. Let's just talk about the high school experience or middle school or elementary school. Like, that is mm-hmm. such a complicated time in someone's life. And you don't need to talk about, you know, a mental illness or things like that. But what if we just talked about the emotions around that experience and how difficult it can be for people?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's intimidating. You know, it's, you know, you get that first day of school and you get the butterflies and, you know, all this excitement and stuff. And then, you know, out of nowhere, all of a sudden you're like, I really don't want to go to school. You know, you get the anxiety, you know, and it's everything kind of coming to a head, you know.
Yeah.
Speaking of, you know, like I said earlier, you know, things hitting around puberty and, you know, all of a sudden your brain goes through changes and whatnot. Scott, where does your particular mental health journey begin?
Good question. So I would say around, you know, we could make the case, you know, through therapy for quite some time. My therapist and I tried to dig in and you try to find this point where everything happened. It's a rather difficult task, right? And we all want to figure that out and piece together our past to kind of figure out and make sense of what happened. And for the life of us, we really couldn't, like, sometimes you can dig. And, you know, I came to a point, I'm like, I'm tired of digging. Like, let's just deal with the current moment. And I don't need to piece together the past. But what we did figure out was I was a fairly anxious kid at times. I would, the why was my favorite question, just like every child, but it was, you know, concerned about, you know, in kindergarten, where's my cubby? Where am I going to put my shoes? Who's going to pick me up? Who am I going to play with at recess? What if I go to recess and I can't find my friends? Who am I going to be with? There was worry, these worrying thoughts, and it just continued. And then high school was, you know, I didn't know what anxiety was. This is probably a common experience. I didn't know what these feelings were. I didn't know the words in term mental health. No idea. So in grade 11 and 12, I would start becoming so anxious before social gatherings and parties where I would throw up before going to a house party. And I'm like, oh, okay, something's wrong. But, you know, it's maybe I'm just, you know, nervous. That's okay. So I didn't really think much of it. And then university came along. And as we just spoke about those social pressures and you're in university, I'm like, I'm paying for the whole thing. I just saw my bank account drop $12,000. So the pressure's on there to perform, the pressure's on to meet friends, to learn, to again, make a name for myself. So there's a lot of pressure and anxiety just really manifested since it wasn't dealt with in the right way in the past, right? And that's what happens. It's almost, it just keeps stacking on. It's that snowball effect until the snowball eventually starts rolling the other way and it crushes you. So I was pretty crushed first year university, and with that anxiety, depression came along. And that's when I was really like, okay, something's definitely wrong here. You know, I'm not doing the things I want to do. I can't eat. I can't sleep. I can't study. You know, these intrusive thoughts that I've never had before. So the self-awareness for me was, I was pretty lucky to have that. And right away I told my, my roommate at the time, Kyle, and a few other friends, I'm like, something's wrong. And it was the first time I went to a counselor and spoke to a counselor at university. And that was, you know, integrated in the tuition fee. So luckily I got a few sessions at no cost, which is a big, big issue when people are seeking treatment. And the cost is unbelievable if you're not covered by insurance. So I was lucky in that regard. And honestly, the story continues with just like one small step after another, guys. And I'm sure you can relate as well as your listeners. This wasn't an overnight fix. It's like, yeah, I went to a therapy session for an hour and I feel great. Everything's back to normal. Okay. And I can wipe my hands clean. It wasn't anything like that. It was a process after months and months, and then trying psychiatry, and then trying medication, and then trying diet changes and supplements and different exercises. And it's been a year journey. And that, you know, diagnosis of anxiety disorder and major depressive disorder was 2008. So it's been a 12-year journey so far. And the cool part is that I'm still learning like about depression, about anxiety, and I can, and you know, invite others to try different things to deal with these, and just learning more about myself is, I think, one of the coolest things. And if it wasn't for these past experiences, I wouldn't be where I am today. And I always, you know, invite people to think about that. If you don't regret where you are today, then how can you regret and frown upon what you went through? So I don't regret where I am, and therefore I am grateful, actually, of what I went through. And here we are.
Yeah.
That's a pretty cool outlook on that.
Yeah, definitely. I would have to agree with you there.
Yeah, because you know, you don't really think about it at the time. You're like, oh, why am I so miserable? Why am I going through this? Why does God hate me? Why does, you know, any number of things and beliefs and, you know, what have you, you know, regardless of background, you have all these thoughts, but you know, you don't realize that, you know, you're on this journey And it's kind of nice because, you know, you're obviously younger than us. So, you know, we are
not by much.
We're in our mid 40s.
What?
And, yeah.
Okay. We met in person at Kindred, as you mentioned. I did not. Did we discuss that? I thought you guys were my age.
No.
Joe, I know the hair gives it away for you, you think, but you both look really young. I swear. I'm 30.
Okay.
I thought you were my age. I'm dead serious.
I'm going to be 47 in March.
Behind. Oh, my goodness. What?
Yeah.
I think you both need to hide behind the microphone. You can do YouTube videos. Show your faces out there. Don't be afraid. You look great.
Well, thanks.
Thank
I'll be 46 in April. And, you know, for us being in our 40s, you know, we've got the benefit of hindsight now, being able to look back on like our 20s and what we went through back then and everything. And it's kind of cool that, you know, you said you're 30 and you're able to kind of already look back on what you've been through with this experience and have some insight to it, you know, which is, you know, that's
hard to come by.
It is. It's hard to do. It's hard to come by to have that type of insight. So,
you guys did the same. Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that. And of course, these perspectives don't come easy. It's something I continually work on. And you know, when you're in the midst of that, you can't look forward and think, oh, it's great that I'm going through this because I'm going to be grateful one day. It's hard and nearly impossible to have that perspective. Again, I just, you know, I stated just one small step at a time, and anyone who's gone through a severe mental illness and can resonate with that, it's like one breath at a time, to be honest. You can't even look forward an hour. It's like, let's just focus on boiling the water, putting the tea bag in, having a sip at a time, one step at a time, and really just go from there. But the cool thing is once it is over and it will pass, that you can add meaning to that suffering, which is, I think, a very valuable thing. And it's what you both did with your journeys, is you started this, you said you were getting 10,000 mentions a day on Instagram of this Keep Talking Mental Health. And like, I don't know about you, but sometimes for me, it's hard to sit back and realize and give yourself a bit of credit. Like, wow, you know, I started this. This is what I did. It's positively affecting thousands and thousands of people. Sometimes it's hard to sit back, but I'd invite you both to do that. It's incredible what you've done, and to take that journey, that story, those extremely difficult and challenging times that you've both had, and flip that baby upside down, right? Flip that coin and see it from a new light and empower others. Like, you know, I'm 30 and I'm already like, geez, time flies. My mom was right. The older you get, and by us doing something positive for mental health and for others and empowering others, like, what else could you really ask for in this very short life?
Yeah,
this is
definitely
true. This is absolutely true. You know, and that's the thing with it is, you know, perspective is really a I don't want to say it. It's sometimes hard to grasp, you know. We've both gone through it with various things we've worked on. And, you know, once in a while, one of us has to stop the other and say, well, all right, yeah, maybe you haven't achieved this, but, you know, you've done this and this and that, and it's had this impact on these people and whatnot. And
more often it's me needing the little bit of inspiration.
Well, I didn't want to throw you under the bus, honey.
Thanks, honey. I appreciate that.
But yeah, you know, it's, you know, trying to take that step back and say, well, gee, you know, I maybe I haven't achieved this, but, you know, I've done all these other different things, and maybe it's not on the scale that I expected, but, you know, it's still more than the next guy can
say. That's how your mental illness works, though.
Yeah.
It tells you that you're not good enough and you didn't do enough and yada, right. yada, yada. And it's a struggle for, you know, I see it every single day, not only just in my own experiences, you know, to mm-hmm. your point, I see it on Twitter with friends and, you know, it seems like every day somebody that I know personally is experiencing, you know, that worthless, hopeless, where do I go from here type mindset.
Right.
And it's very difficult to figure out how to talk them down from that when you know yourself that you're struggling with talking yourself down from it.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's easier to tell somebody, hey, you know, try this, go do this, whatever. But when you know in your head that you're not going to go and do the same thing, you know, it's tricky.
It's hard following right. your own advice sometimes, you know, that old saying, physician, heal thyself, you know. Yeah, like, you know, I'd always had the quote unquote dream of being a rock and roll star and, you know, just being a professional musician and all this stuff. And, you know, like I said, in my 40s, hasn't happened. But I look at the experiences I've had along the way, the bands that I've been in, the places I've played, the music I've created and recorded. And I know that has had an impact on the people that would follow us, would go and see us play, would buy our CDs and different things like that. And yeah, maybe it wasn't worldwide recognition or even national recognition, but it was still more than the next guy that doesn't even take the step of trying to join a band. Mm-hmm. So, you right. know, it's about having that appreciation for what you've been through and recognizing, well, okay, it wasn't to the scale that I had put on my own expectation, but it was still something. I still did this. I still did that. And I have an appreciation for those experiences and going through it now. And I think back on all that stuff fondly, you know, and
right.
And you know,
I think I think it's like very, you know, I think a lot of people are scared and yeah, myself included, if you set the bar too high and you don't make it, it's an automatic failure. So people avoid even having that extreme goal of, okay, I'm going to aim for this. I'm going to be part of this band. I'm going to tour the world. But if you end up just not putting that goal forward, I think that's maybe talk about regrets. It might be a bigger regret to say, I didn't even try. And you yeah. say, well, at least I gave it my best. And another thing too is like self-doubt is one of the most destructive things. It comes yeah. from you. And then you're trying to convince yourself. And then if self-doubt comes in, you're trying to convince yourself that you shouldn't have self-doubt. So it's really, yeah. really a complicated cyclical thinking mechanism that happens. But what I always think about too is we talk about, you know, not being as big as we want to be, or maybe not having the reach we once intended. But I always thought, because with YouTube, it's a really interesting experiment. You know, I was really, really pumped at my first 10 subscribers. I was so, I was just like, oh my gosh, 10 people, look at 10 humans around the world. And then 100. And then when I hit 1,000 subscribers, I remember my family, my brother made this, it's like when you get a, you know, a diploma. He made like a YouTuber diploma for me. And he says, congratulations, Scott St. Marie, on your first 1,000 subscribers, brought to you by YouTube. And he made this plaque for me. And I was like, wow, that's so cool. And I always thought that I would become a happier individual with more reach I had and more subscribers. And it never ended up, that was never the case. So I yeah. always asked myself, okay, if I, you know, let's say you're, okay, what I want is to reach, do 50 talks. I want to reach 50, do 50 corporate talks this year. And I think about, okay, if I do 55, will I be any happier? Will that actually change the way I truly feel in the long term? And usually the answer is no. if you think about actually attaining that thing, you're removing yourself from the present and actually not enjoying the process anymore. And for dealing with mental health challenges and for going through life, like if you miss out on the process, well, what else is there? If you're only focused on the end result, you miss the whole ride along the way. So even if I'm focused on achieving some goal or doing more talks at schools or corporations or more YouTube videos or more podcasts, to only think of the end result is such a lie to my psyche. So personally, I have to sit down and be like, okay, just remember, like, the days fly by, as you all know, time slips through our fingers, time goes by fast, and we need to really focus on enjoying and just being okay that this is a process, and we can have an end goal. If you don't reach it, you say, well, at least I was there during the process. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good feeling at the end. Even if you don't reach it, you say, I was present. I put the best foot forward I could. I did all I could do. I focused on my own mental health at the same time. And this is what became of it.
Indeed.
Yeah,
indeed.
Definitely great advice.
It's so funny that you mentioned that too, because, you know, on last week's show, I was talking a lot about the Rush song "Time Stand Still," and
beautiful.
Yes, and you're Canadian. You should appreciate Rush.
Of course. Rest in peace, Neil Peart.
That's right. And you know, I was talking about the U.S. Army band doing this beautiful version. And if you haven't checked it out, look it up on YouTube, because it is. It's amazing. Our producer, Scott, actually found it and played it at the end of our show last week, and I was in my glory. You know, it really resonates with, you know, especially as we're getting older, you know, being able to step back and enjoy the moment as you're living it. You know, we something Beck and I have noticed lately as we've gone to different types of events, concerts, sporting events, things like that, is all the people that have their phones out and they're recording it. You know, and I get.
Oh, don't even get me started. Don't even get me started.
I get wanting to have something for posterity, but, you know, we've actually kind of made a, I don't want to say a pact, but we don't do that anymore. You know, we try to sit there in the moment and enjoy it as it's happening and make a memory out of it, you know. And I think that process can really, there's something to be said for it, not just in special events, but in everyday life, you know. With us, you know, I know we try not to talk about it too much on the show, but with us having our niece and our great niece living with us and seeing our great niece, who is
15 months
as of Thursday, seeing her grow and develop new things, starting to walk, discover all these different things, looking at life through her eyes and just taking a moment to appreciate her and what she's going through in her new life journey, it has a profound effect on you. You know, it really, really does. So,
right.
Well, I think what I always invite people to ask themselves is, okay, you're at a concert, you're recording them. Will you ever watch that video again?
Yeah,
that is the ultimate question. And for a lot of people, like, I've never, because I've done that, I've recorded a bit of a concert, I've never sat down and watched my footage again. And the joke is that you see people actually recording with their phones fireworks. I'm like, will you ever watch a fireworks show after tonight on your phone? Yeah. There's no way. So it's almost habitual now, because we want to soak it in so badly. And we were like, oh, at Joe and Rebecca, as you just said, is you sit and you absorb it. And I think it's far more deep if you soak it in that way, and then you can access that memory so much better, you know, years from then, by just revisiting that in your mind versus taking out your phone and revisiting that way. your mind is it's beautiful if you actually take the moment and put in the effort and focus to actually say, okay, I'm going to be here. I'm going to listen. I'm going to take in the environment, the smells, the music, the lighting, the smoke machines, and just really absorb it. Your mind retains so much more when you actually do that mindfully.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on that note, we're going to take a break. So you guys stay tuned. You're going to be listening to Baby Blue Sky by Nick Hayward. And we will see you guys on the flip side. Back to Voices for Change 2.0. I'm Joe. She's Rebecca. She's cute as a button. Look at her, guys. Just look at her. So cute. And then she chuckles because she knows I'm an idiot.
You'll never understand the fact that nobody can see me.
I don't care. I don't care because you're cute.
Okay.
And people can look at you. They can go and find your pictures on wherever. So, anyway, on the line is the lovely and talented Scott St. Marie.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. I think our producer, Scott, might have left his mic open, and we can hear him talking to his mom in the background.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is awesome and adorable because we love
So another
his mom.
Two special guests, yes.
Yeah.
That's
Scott
right.
And his mom and another Scott. Okay.
This won't get confusing at all.
Oh my goodness! Just keep moving forward. Just go. We don't want to eavesdrop on mom's conversation. So.
That's right.
If we talk louder, it might drown it out. I'm not sure.
That's my hope. Yeah. So. So, Scott, how did you turn public speaking and a YouTube channel into such a successful business?
Oh, that's a great question, man.
That's right.
All right, so here are Scott St. Marie's 6 tips for success. Okay, no, I'm just kidding. I'm not that's one thing I never did is do. Oh, is there a way we can contact Scott?
No, we're
Scott.
Trying to. We're messaging.
Okay. I'm like trying to talk over it, but it's in my headphones. Come on, Scott.
Yeah.
I thought we were friends.
Okay. Honey, call. Get on your phone.
Okay.
And call the call-in number.
Okay, I can do that.
I am so sorry, Scott.
Yeah,
That's okay. Oh, I think it.
Did it clear up? Oh, he's typing something back. Let's see what he says.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not gonna get into why that all happened, but
he apologizes.
He apologizes, and we hope everything came out the way he hoped. So.
Anyway,
it seems so quiet now. It's like when you didn't realize like a fan was on and then it finally turns off. You're like, wow, it's so clear. So you asked about speaking in YouTube. So I started my YouTube channel back in 2013, not very seriously, but I'm like, oh, there's this YouTube thing and you know, mental health isn't really talked about on YouTube. So I thought I'd be one of the, there was a few women doing it, but no men. I'm like, hey, why don't I be the first man to talk about mental health on YouTube? And of course you upload videos and no one watches, but slowly but surely, just like that snowball effect, people started, you know, viewing and catching in and, catching on and subscribing. And you know, what I found was, this was actually fairly recently was I loved, you know, interacting with subscribers, but what I really like to do was the live streams because there's back and forth interaction and I could answer questions. And then I started doing live streams where they were on video too with my private community members. And that was so fun. So I'm like, wow, what if I tried some in-person speaking? If this is better than speaking to a piece of plastic where I can't see anyone, the next best thing is speaking to people, you know, via video chat on live streams and actually seeing them. So I guess the third best thing would be to speak to people in person to get that real eye contact, those pheromones. Let's see people's facial expressions. And I did it. My first talk was at, I worked for a speaking company at first, and it was just at schools talking to high school and elementary school kids. And then I was hooked. I just fell in love with it to actually interact with them, to ask questions, to share this strange, somewhat mystical idea of mental health and to set the record straight and to add some humor to these topics. And I just loved public speaking. So YouTube is now, it's still a passion project, but speaking is really when I feel I come alive, and it's such a rewarding feeling to have such insightful questions from an audience and have, especially for children too, having them really understand and not feel guilty about the way they feel. I think that's one big part of my presentation. It's, you know, as we were talking about elementary school, and I've presented to as low as JK, but mostly it's grade 4 in elementary school, 4 to 8, and then high school 9 to 12. Grade 4, that's when people like usually get their first cell phone. So I do talks about social media and mental health and screen time and then parent groups. But for kids, I think one of the biggest things is what we just talked about is, okay, like, don't feel ashamed and don't feel guilty about what you're feeling. Like, let's start where you're at, that you know, the school's a new environment, you're meeting new people, you're anxious about, you know, a test, and you're worried that you won't get a good mark. These are all emotions that we should first seek to understand first and not feel guilty about, not feel ashamed, because that just makes things a whole lot worse. So when we come to this idea and come to terms with accepting these things first and starting where we are, it's a classic like therapist line. It's like, let's start where you're at. Start where a patient or client is at, and then move from there. So we start there and really move forward. So it's just, again, speaking to a piece of plastic and uploading YouTube videos is cool just because, you know, it's content, and I always have these funky ideas, and I'm just like, hey, I may as well share it with the world. Why not just put it out there if it's a new way of thinking of things or some new funky idea? But as far as what gives me a lot of energy and life and a real feeling of fulfillment, the speaking is just fantastic. And I'm one of the worst, I'd say, entrepreneurs, because anyone who knows anything about marketing is like, well, Scott, you have to pick your target demographic. Who do you want to speak to? I'm like, I just want to speak to everyone, though. And that's terrible. That is terrible marketing 101. I'm like, but I want to speak to kids about phone use and elementary school and high school and then transitioning to college, university. But then I also want to talk to adults and parents of kids and how to deal with, you know, screen time and cell phone addiction and how to help someone dealing with anxiety. But then I want to talk about workplace mental health and what corporations can do to support their employees. I can't win. And then I want to go on Rebecca and Joe's podcast to talk about this stuff. So it's a whole umbrella. Again, so as an entrepreneur and finding a niche, I'm terrible, but it brings me a whole lot of joy to talk to a whole bunch of different demographics.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. At the same time. So as far as like answering your question, but answering your question, like how I got that mindset of curiosity, because I'm like, huh, if I like live streams a lot and interacting with people, well, what about speaking? Like, I've seen I've gone to conferences and seen some talks. I wonder if that would be cool. Let's give that a shot. Call myself the human guinea pig. Let's see if that's cool. Let's see if that's fun. And if I did speaking, I was like, nope, I just puked on stage. That did not go well. Okay, I really don't like it. Never. At least I know now, right? A really powerful thing for me is, you know, knowing what you don't like is just as powerful as what you do. So when trying, you know, I'm sure you both have been in a lot of, you know, had a lot of jobs as you grew up and until now. And what's important too is, okay, you figured out what you really don't like in a job and what you really don't like in a work environment and what you really don't like is in this certain band or what you really don't like with this podcast. So you're going to make your podcast a little different. So it's almost crossing off things is just as important as checking off boxes. So it was just a fun little journey for me, and it's continuing to grow.
Sweet.
Yeah. And you also were able to have a TEDx talk too. What was that experience like?
That was a fun experience. So it was at the Science Center in Toronto, which is really cool. So a really nice auditorium. And I was pretty early in my speaking career too. So that was like, you know, being in an auditorium like that, I'm like, whoa, this is new and it's being filmed. What's going on? but I wrote a whole TEDx talk, and literally it was about the news and how it kind of promotes negative thinking and that and how it affects mental health. So it's a pretty cool topic. But I practiced it, and you have to go and practice it in front of like kind of a board of directors, and they give you tips on your talk before you actually go on stage. And I did all that. And then about, you know, maybe 2 weeks before the talk, I'm like, I spoke to my speaking coach who helps you out for these TEDx events. And I'm like, I don't want to do this topic. I have a different idea. Like it seems artificial to me. I'm not really passionate about it. And she says, Scott, you just follow your heart, man. You rewrite it, do what you got to do. So I rewrote just my experience with depression, and the TEDx talk is called Why You Should Question Everything. And it's a bit about, you know, being skeptical in today's age with the age of information. That's one thing. But the biggest part for me is how asking questions And having that curious state of mind is the one thing that, that brought me out of depression. Asking questions was the is the start of actually finding helpful solutions. So, you know, when I was feeling depressed and couldn't eat, couldn't sleep, I asked, okay, what happened? What had changed in my life? What can I do to feel better? What options are out there? Should I talk to someone? And, you know, it takes a certain mind, because we can always ask these questions and nothing happens, and you kind of get that paralysis analysis. But asking questions for me was an absolute blessing, to be curious about your own reality, to be skeptical about reality, to seek the best possible information for treatment, and to learn more. If you're dealing with a mental health challenge, can you ask your doctor certain questions? Can you do certain research? Of course, within reason, but having a curious mind, the only reason I get up in the morning to learn something new, to meet new people, to discover something new in my neighborhood and discover something new about the world. It is, it's like, honestly, why I continue to get up. But it's simple as that.
It's funny that you mentioned that, and there's so many different things I want to speak to what you just said. I'll start with the quickest one, which is, I have been to the Toronto Science Center. Very,
oh,
very
yeah?
cool place. Yeah, yeah. Back when I was in sixth grade, we took a trip to Toronto. So
no,
that's
kidding.
All.
Before you needed a passport.
Yeah. So that's all I'm going to say about that, because I could go down a rabbit hole with that, and I really don't
right.
want to, because I want to actually talk about what you talked about. The question of why is amazing to me. You know, that having an understanding of things and how they work and all that. You know, I when I was in high school, I took electronics for 2 years, and out of it, all I really learned how to do was solder. But the big thing for me, the big thing for me was understanding why, you know, and my teacher wasn't very good at understanding why. And that's why I didn't get it, you know, and that's the funny thing. And, you know, he'd be explaining something. I'd be looking at it and going, well, why? Why does it do that? Or why doesn't it do that? Or why does it do it this way and this does it that way? And, you know, So it's such a tiny little word, but it can be so profound, you know.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. So
well,
the
whole sorry to cut you off, Joe. The whole reason, you know, when you ask these things is, well, a lot of the time the answer, if so you ask a teacher, or, you know, why is this corporation, why aren't they providing mental health benefits to their employees? Well, you know, it's the way it's always been. Or a teacher, why is the curriculum, why are we still learning to square dance in grade 4? Oh, it's the way it's always been. It's like, how do we change this? Why is it the way it's always been? Why are we fearing change? What are the factors going into these decisions? So you're absolutely right. Why needs to be at the forefront of education, of workplace, not only mental health, but total workplace initiatives. So I'm totally with you there. And the why I get out of bed. There you go.
So we're getting down to the wire here. We're going to have to sign off with you soon. But
which really sucks, because
yeah,
I'm enjoying the
conversation.
Yeah.
But without
well,
we give you the opportunity.
You two come on my podcast, or we'll meet in person and we'll continue the conversation. This will not be the last time.
Okay,
absolutely.
Sounds good. So why don't we move into have you tell folks about your social media, where they can find you and hunt you down if they want to.
Absolutely. So my website is, hey, I'm going to toot my own horn here. I worked with an awesome designer. My website's beautiful. It really is. It's depression2expression.com. And, you know, that's my business name, Depression to Expression. If you just Google it, my YouTube channel will pop up. It's youtube.com/depression2expression. My Instagram is instagram.com/depression2expression. All you need to do is Google it, and Google does the rest of the work for you. All you need to do is double click a few things, hit subscribe if you want to join my email newsletter, where I give away merch and journals and t-shirts and all those goodies. feel free to just go to the website. Everything is there, depression2expression.com.
Free stuff. Woohoo!
Yeah, exactly. That's how you get people to go, do you want free stuff? Okay, go to the website.
Yep. To which you get, woohoo!
That's right.
Well, stay on the lines, Scott, and we will catch up on things and everybody else. You're going to be listening to the song Dare to Dream by Michael Mott. And we
see you next week.
We'll see you next week. Thank you so much for tuning in. We love you all. And
keep talking mental health.
Keep talking mental health.
Keep talking mental health.
Unkind, yet I was determined to press through the fog and the steam. So I dared to dream. Now there's a world clear as the day. Nothing and no one can
forever to dream. If we dare to dream.